Good morning, 740, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola Morning News. Joining us by phone, because he got stuck in traffic, because, you know, that happens, Sheriff Chip Simmons from Escambia County. Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thanks a lot, Andrew. I was going to say I was out patrolling the streets, but yeah, I was stuck in traffic this morning.
Here, we'll start over. Joining us by phone now because he is out doing his job patrolling the streets, keeping you safe and, you know, trying not to get himself on cops for any of the wrong reasons. Sheriff Chip Simmons from Escambia County. Sheriff, welcome back to the show.
Much better. Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
Good. Hey, let's start with this just because last night it was a big deal. You all were there primarily, what, to support Michelle Salzman winning her award at the PACE Awards last night, right?
Yeah, we were invited to be at her table at the PACE Awards. Michelle was given the Community Leader of the Year Award, which coincidentally was the award I got last year. So I came in there and just to support her and, you know, just in support of everyone, all the winners. Dr. Andrews won as a pioneer. Mm-hmm. You know, Dr. James Andrews, obviously, people, you don't have to really explain what he's done, but who better to deserve a pioneer award than Dr. James Andrews for bringing the Andrews Institute to our community?
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's like sort of, it's not quite the Lifetime Achievement Award, but it's kind of like that. And that award, whenever somebody wins that award, you're like, oh man, those people had a major impact on Pensacola. Krista Brandt from Valerie's House got Advocate Leader. Dr. Jocelyn Evans, who is the wife of Jeremy Evans, who is on the rap all the time, Leader in Education. Steve Moorhead, Business Leader. Dr. Fountain, Rick Fountain, a Professional Leader. Whitney Fike from IP, Emerging Leader. And Margie Moore from the Spirit of Pensacola. Yeah, all kinds of good awards. So it's always a great program. It really is. One of the things I wanted to ask you about is, just in terms of like law enforcement incidents, it seems like it's been a fairly non-eventful week, which I am always happy about. We did have a guy get tased in Century, right?
Yeah, we were looking for a guy who had a couple of warrants on him for, domestic violence, or a warrant on him for domestic violence. It's a 2-year-old warrant, but we found out where he was. His name is Clark, Hinthorn, 36 years old. He was hiding in the pile of clothes. We found him and told him to come out. He pops up and said, we're going to have to shoot him. So we gave a shot him with a taser, and he complied after that. So he's charged with the domestic violence warrant, but also charged with resisting an officer. He was treated by EMS, and he was cleared to go to jail.
So fair to say that if he was hiding in a pile of clothes, you'd call him a basket case?
You would, because like that.
No, this is a basket case, not him personally. Fair enough. Okay.
Yeah, I guess.
And not a lot of other incidents, unless I'm mistaken. But how has spring break been going?
Well, you know, we were talking about that yesterday. I looked at some of the video feeds from what we've had. Spring break is like summer, really. There's going to be a big crowd. It's going to be slow moving on the bridge, going in and out of Pensacola Beach, and certainly, you know, everyone wants to get there in the morning and everyone wants to leave as the sun starts to set or later in the afternoon. So there's going to be traffic. We have deployed both of our surveillance platforms, the vans that have all kinds of cameras on them, at the beach, just so we can get a better idea who's coming and going in case something were to happen. We have one of them deployed in Casino Beach at parking lot and one of them at the entrance to Pensacola Beach. So our hope is that people will understand that what they're doing, you know, if it's illegal, that it may be on, you know, caught on camera, at least the vehicle caught on camera. And we don't have the nonsense that's taking place in Jacksonville and, you know, some of the other places during spring break. In fact, I wanted to get my message board out front and say, if you're looking for trouble, this is not the place, you know, to turn around and go to some other beach. But I couldn't get my message board out there in time, and I'll maybe save that for next year. But right now, it's going pretty smoothly. We expect, you know, steady crowds, obviously, this weekend. And then I believe Escambia County is on spring break next week. So we expect the next 2 weekends will be pretty big. And then it'll wane off sometime around April.
Have there been any issues? I know you guys aren't so much traffic enforcement. That's, you know, to some degree, that's more FHP. But I drove through the toll plaza last night on the way to the Hilton for the PACE Awards, and I had kind of forgotten that the middle one was closed down for reconstructive surgery after that terrible wreck, and that you have to go all the way to the left or all the way to the right, and kind of it feels like you're breaking the law when you go to the right, which of course is what I did. Has there been any problems connected to that?
No, not that I'm aware of. I think yesterday it looked like the second lane and the fourth lane were the ones open, so I don't know if they changed that around. I just want people to think, oh, what this, you know, Andrew and Chef Simmons said that the first lane's free, and
yeah, I think
so you pay attention to where you're going. There were certainly two of them that were closed and two of them that were open. I don't know if they do that, you know, throughout the day. I know that one obviously is not going to open,
right?
But I'm not sure if I just give them room to fix, you know, to do their construction.
No, you're right. The first one was closed. It's two and four. You were exactly right. I just misdescribed it. You unveiled the real-time crime center last week. I didn't get a chance to go. I'm bummed. I was partially scheduled, partially I was sick, so I wanted to find out. And you know, I watched the video. Looks amazing, as I would expect. Tell people what this does for us as a crime-fighting tool.
Well, but basically, as everyone should know by now, there are a number of cameras that are monitoring traffic mostly, and it's all about traffic patterns for all of these cameras. They're on our roadways, they're on businesses, and what this does is it allows us to incorporate those video feeds all into one location to help us in a law enforcement setting. Historically, DOT would have cameras up, and they would look at, you know, backups in traffic, and the city of Pensacola has a number of cameras to monitor who's in downtown Pensacola. And so we have been able to collaborate with our partners, City of Pensacola, the Escambia County School District, the DOT, and put all these camera feeds into one main pool, what we call main core. And that is our real-time crime center. We call our STAR network, because it's a network of different cameras from different feeds. And what it does is allows us to use this core program and monitors if we have a suspected vehicle. We can log in what kind of vehicle we're looking for. And on many of our cameras, it can kind of, hey, it looks like that camera has hit this license plate reader, this camera. It really allows us to detect crime and also apprehend those who have committed crime. I made a comment about a situation we had just the night before where we were able to determine that the individual, because it was spring break, and I put those, we had those vans out there at Pensacola Beach, we were able to determine that the suspects at the Real Time Crime Center had helped us to identify that they were going to the beach every night at 8 o'clock. And so we called our beach people and said, hey, this car with this tag comes here every night. Now they're wanted for armed robbery of a Verizon. They actually stole a phone from them. They grabbed a phone and took off. And sure enough, about 8:30, that car showed up. After a brief little car chase, we were able to apprehend these two people. So this is the kind of technology that we have needed here in Escambia County for some time. It's new to us, but we're really behind the game. A lot of our partners already have it, Mobile, Bowen County, Mobile County, Bay County, Okaloosa County, they already have a center such as this. We're just now, I wanted to make sure that ours is state-of-the-art, because I think that's what Escambia County citizens deserve.
You when you were talking about this, one of the things that you brought up was the connection with people in their individual house cameras. And, you know, most of us have all seen movies and TV shows, and our perception of the surveillance capabilities of the police is vastly overrated, right? You think that in 2 seconds, right, the cops can pull up every home security camera in existence and log into it, because that's what the hackers can do in 8 seconds. Why can't the police do it? The reality is far more cumbersome and difficult than that. But if people want to
impossible,
right? Exactly. So, yeah. but what kind of capability do you have if there's an area that you're looking for somebody and people have home security systems in that area? What level of ability do you have to utilize their personal resources?
Yeah, well, we're going to do two things. If you have a business, or like I just use a car lot, for example, and you have outward-facing cameras that are looking at your car lot anyways and also looking at the street in front of it, then we're going to contact you and say, hey, you can do one or two things. You can allow us to have feeds to your outside-facing cameras, nothing inside, and only those that are facing the roadway. And if you're at home, if you're a resident, all we ask that you do is, if you're willing to say, hey, you have cameras in your home. That's it. So that if we have an incident anywhere in that area, what we'll do is we'll draw a geofence or a circle around that, and everyone that let us know they had cameras, we just send them an email and say, hey, we had this incident. Could you check your camera and see if you had something happening at 2 o'clock in the morning? And if they did and they're willing to share it, then they will send it to us. We don't access their cameras or anything like that. We just really want a network or a list of people that we might be able to go to. In the past, when we had a crime occur, we would knock on everyone's door. You know, we canvassed the neighborhood, is what we called it. So you knock on neighbors' door, did you see anything? Now that we know a lot of people have security cameras, we will go and see who it looks like they have cameras. We'll knock on those doors. This allows us to do that a lot quicker and a lot easier, and not just the houses that are right next to the you know, where a crime could have occurred, but like in the next intersection, because those houses are very important as well.
So it's A, 100% voluntary, and B, it is always in the homeowner's control 100%, because all you will do is basically send them an email saying, hey, or a text or whatever your method of contact is, and ask them if they have the ability to go look at their own camera. You're never commandeering, hacking, and people, again, it's not even possible, but people, you know, people have weird ideas. I know that's something that people probably wondered, and I wanted to make sure to clarify it. A couple of cool things going on. You have the U.S. PCA canine trials, right?
That's correct. That's been going on right now. And we will have a public demonstration on the 20th at 6 o'clock at Tate High School. And by public demonstration, I mean anyone can come. It's at Tate High School, 6 o'clock on the 20th. And, you know, we have teams, probably dozens of canine teams from. I know that we were there on, I guess, Sunday night in Lakeland, has a couple teams there. A lot throughout the state of Florida, we have teams throughout the area. We have a number of canine teams. So if you're a fan of law enforcement, certainly in the canine realm, and if you're a fan of dogs that are obedient, you know, like you may not have, you need to come out there and Tate at 6 o'clock and take a look at these highly trained professionals, handlers and their dogs. And this is a really big deal for us. And the Escambia County Sheriff's Office is hosting it this year. Our Lieutenant Kevin Biggs doing a fantastic job organizing all of this. And they'd really appreciate the support because, they work very hard, not just on this competition, but they work very hard day in and day out. And I also want to mention that we also have our Escambia County Sheriff Foundation, Cars, Cops, and Crawfish. Cars are a car show. The cops are Sheriff's Office deputies. And the crawfish is going to be crawfish from Cubs Crawfish. Apparently, the crawfish has made quite a comeback from the, you know, I guess there was a drought.
Yeah, there was.
The weather in Louisiana, but apparently it's made quite a comeback. We'll have that on April the 20th at Five Flags Speedway. We'll also show a video, a movie up there. All this information is available on Escambia County Sheriff Foundation's website page or Facebook page, and you can get that information from there. And we'd love to see you. I'm getting mixing two things, but we'd love to see you on Wednesday, the 20th, at Tate High School, 6 o'clock, for a public canine demonstration, in honor of our canines.
No, and that is a real big production. If you've never been to one, I encourage you to go. It's quite something, and all the police that are there, and it's a great opportunity to support the canine and the force in general. Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, sir, thank you so much for the time. Thanks for keeping us safe and keeping us informed. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.